paid. It's just a very sobering, humble thing to know that our liberty was at the expense of someone else's pain and suffering. When I think about all of that, I'm reminded that many times the various conflicts that our world engages in are really over at its root cause over issues of identity. Let me throw out an example to you this morning. Right now we happen to be in a tussle with radical Islam. And the goal of, as I understand it anyways, the goal, we know that there's stuff going on in the heavenly realms behind all this, but the stated goal of radical Islam is to bring everyone else underneath their identity, to be a conquering ideology where everyone else has to comply and look at things and live life the same way that they see things. Well, I was thinking about that, and as I was doing so, I was thinking about how in a very similar way, the same thing is going on in the supernatural realm. That the souls of human beings are at war with other forces in an effort to confuse people, in an effort to conquer them as it involves their true identity. In fact, I was thinking about it. It's a spiritual war, and I was thinking about this, that, you know, most of you in here today know that the Bible says that there is a thief who comes to steal, rob, kill, and destroy, right? There is an enemy of our souls that is looking to destroy us. And the first way, I think anyways, the first way that he looks to, it's the first place his target or his bullseye is set on is trying to get us to think other of ourselves than what God has spoken about us. He zeroes in on this area of identity because he knows if he can get us mixed up about that, the rest of the things will fall in place. So this morning, I want to talk to you about this silent war that goes on in the hearts and lives of people. People here this morning, people you will encounter in this week to come, this silent war where the enemy of people's souls comes to get them questioning, to get them confused, to get them believing lies about who they really are. You know, I was reading this week a little bit about something that's in the news around us today that they've actually dubbed the silent war. This war is not being fought on the traditional battlefields of earth and soil. It's being fought in what they call cyberspace. You've all heard of cyberspace, I assume. Certainly if you're a millennial or younger, you've heard of it. And they say that this silent war is being fought on two fronts. On the one front, there is this war being fought to secure information. This is primarily one nation to another. To secure one information, pivotal information, about one nation going after the information of another nation by hacking. Isn't that an interesting word? I thought, how did they come up with these names? Like, they're hacking into computer systems to come up with needed information on other nations. So that's one side of the war that's being fought there. But the other front is more on a personal level. It's often, most often, referred to as identity theft. Anybody ever heard of it? Okay. Identity theft is where one person is going after information on another person, information such as account numbers, passwords, in an effort to steal their identity and potentially everything that they own. I found this out. In the year 2015, there were over 490,000 cases of identity theft reported to the Federal Trade Commission. Now, that's amazing. That means almost 500,000 exposures in America. 500,000 people were exposed or had to deal with this silent war of identity theft. Maybe you've heard of some of the stories, like I have, where people have had their identity taken from them. And a lot of times it takes months, even years, to correct all the things that have gone wrong when somebody's personal life has been hacked into. We live, because of that, we live in an age, you couldn't have said this 20, 30 years ago, but we live in an age right now where we are being warned repeatedly about making sure we've got secure passwords on accounts, that purses and places where we store information, phones, things like that, are not left unattended. You know, it used to be that a lady was worried about her purse for the $20 she had in it, right? They're not interested in the $20 anymore. What they're interested in is the other information that's in that purse so that they can get that and begin to go about the process of stealing your identity. Because of that, there are various companies out there today who are making a business out of trying to provide identity theft protection. You've heard about them, right? They're on the news, right? They're you know, it's either, you know, commercials, it seems like, maybe it's just because of the stations I watch, commercials are either about trying to protect your identity, right? Right? We got that one. It's about Viagra, the next one. Right. And then the next, you know, the next one is about buying gold. So we've got here it is. This is it. They're in sequence. We've got get theft protection. The other stuff. And make sure you buy gold. Right. I realized a long time ago. Because of, you know, the way commercials work, right? They know the demographic of who's watching the particular programming. And so they target the commercials towards that, right? They know that young men between 20 and 40 years old are the primary watchers of football. So they target their commercials to those guys. That's why there's beer commercials being played ad nauseum, because they know those are the guys who buy the beer. So one time I finally realized that the programs I watch are old people programs. I finally figured that out because I'm watching the commercials and who they're targeting, and it's like, secure your money, the other stuff, and buy gold, right? I'm like, man, I'm old. I'm watching, that's all I hear about, old commercials. Of course, these companies that are selling us theft protection, identity theft protection, come at a price. You will have to pay to have them oversee your financial affairs. The reason I mention all of this is because I think people are way more involved in trying to protect temporal stuff than they are to try to protect spiritual stuff. It's almost like people leave themselves wide open to this enemy that is looking to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, but boy, I don't want them getting at my bank account. It's almost like we got this thing backwards, because our identity is really the most important thing. Our true spiritual identity, who God has made us to be, is what everything else kind of is predicated upon in our lives. This morning, I want to talk to you about how I believe that the enemy goes about trying to steal our identity. And then I'd like to talk to you about what kind of life lock, if you will, can you and I pursue. And I might add, it's free. This is free protection, free spiritual identity theft protection. The only thing is you have to apply yourself to it. But it's all free. Let's start out by looking at some of the ways that the enemy tries to steal our true spiritual identity. Are you ready? You may want to take some notes on this. We all deal with this. There's not one of us in this room that's exempt from this morning. You won't be able to leave here this morning and say to yourself, well, that didn't apply to me this morning. I promise you that these things I'll share with you this morning are things that we all deal with and face almost every day of our lives, all right? Number one tactic, you ready? Distractions. You know, I don't know if you remember, I'm sure it still goes on today, but I think, again, it happens in amazing different ways. But I remember one time, I don't know if it was on Candid Camera or a show like that, but this is probably 30 years ago. They were showing scenes of professional pickpocketers. Do you know? Does anybody even know what the phrase pickpocketer means anymore? Right. Right. So they were videoing it, secretively videoing, you know, a professional pickpocketer, and how he goes up to a person and, you know, bumps into them or does something to distract their attention. And while that's going on, it's almost like magic. He's, you know, got their watch or got their wallet or their checkbook or whatever. He, you know, he's able to procure that stuff just by creating some type of distraction in their life. Today, you know, I've had my wife call me at the office on more than one occasion, and she'll say to me, she's in our email, she'll call to ask me a question like, are you expecting an email from so-and-so? And I'm going like, no, not really, not that I'm aware of, because I don't know how many of you get these kind of emails. They almost act like they know you. Like, hey, Jeff, just wanted to, you know what I'm talking about, right? And so my wife, before she opens it up and it's some kind of virus or somebody seeking information that they shouldn't be, I mean, she'll be on the phone and she'll say, we just got an email. It sounds like they know you. Do you know so-and-so? And I'm going like, no, I don't know them. But a lot of times all these things are designed to do is distract us, to get our attention and to cause us to look one way while something bad can happen from another direction. And I think about that. I think, you know, how often does the enemy of our souls, of our identity, do stuff, you know, stuff going on in our life, and we're so busy over here focused on trying to handle this crisis that we've taken our eye off of the ball, so to speak. And we almost allow, you know, we allow, Jesus said when he was talking about the parable of the sower and he was saying, you know, the seed gets sown. One of the scenarios was the cares of this world are able to do damage to the seed being sown. And I think to myself, how often is my identity being usurped or stolen from me, my true identity, when I'm distracted with all these other things that the enemy throws out there? They aren't things God's putting out there for us to get distracted by, but the enemy throws things up to us so that we get all of our energies, all of our emotional energy, all of our physical energy, sometimes focused on these other things, and it really distracts us from what matters most. How many of you have said to yourself before that you maybe got up in a given day and you thought, well, you know, I'll spend some time with God today, and somehow that time slips away, and you say to yourself, I'll do it at the end of the day, right? I'll get to it at the end of the day. And then you get to the end of the day and you go like, you know what? I'm exhausted. And all of a sudden, all of these things have distracted us so that actually the most important thing we do, which is to reconnect with Him, make sure we're tight with Him, and we're once again aware of who we really are in Him. All of a sudden, all this other stuff takes our energies, takes our effort. And we've lost sight of knowing who we really are in Him. All right, distractions. I think that's a very common way that the enemy steals from us, robs from us, looks to, you know, put a real big damper on our lives. Number two, condemnation. Condemnation. Have you gotten one of these scam calls that makes you feel guilty? Recently, I don't know, my wife said it was in the news just recently here. There's this, I've gotten it several times. It's somebody saying they're from the IRS. I got like three in one day. And I don't know about you, but when I hear IRS, my blood pressure goes up just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It's creeping up there. And it's almost like, I've had several of these kind of scams before, but it's almost like they want you to feel like you're in trouble, so that you do something about it. Like you've been a bad boy, you've got a bad problem here, we need to fix it. And I thought to myself, how often does the enemy, just dump stuff on us to make us feel horrible about ourselves, hideous about ourselves? So that now all of a sudden all of our time, our energies, our effort and whatnot, our soul is all mucked up with this stuff, and we've lost sight of our true identity. Am I? Maybe I'm preaching here. This happens to all of us. How many of you, when I was a kid, and we used to go to the fair in McKean County in Pennsylvania, they had a walkthrough thing, and one of the things in there were, I think they call these carnival mirrors. Do you know what I'm talking about? So you walk into those little booths. I think there was the littlest woman that ever lived, and there's all these different things, but you walk into the carnival mirrors, and when you walk in there, I don't know what they've done with the mirrors, but they've done something that maybe when you stand in front of it, it makes your head look really big, or your tummy look really big and your head really small or whatever. Well, recently, my grandkids exposed me to the updated version of that, which is actually on the computer, right? So here, this week I grabbed a little something and... The carnival mirrors, you know what I'm talking about, right? All right, let me just go through there or that. So, no, please. All right, So the idea here, whether it's the old-fashioned mirrors or this thing, it's almost like it's almost like when you get in front of the thing, it's like, how hideous, right? How hideous can we get this person to look so that they're, in our case, ashamed of themselves? And I wonder how often the enemy in all of our lives is dumping on us condemnation. And in the process of doing that, it's making us, you know, get ourselves looking at ourselves like that, so that we can't really see ourselves as God sees us, our true identity. I think condemnation is one of his go-to things to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. How about this third one? Questions. I think if the enemy can get us thinking about stuff, a lot of times identity theft happens by people on the other end, maybe of a phone, asking us pointed personal questions and us giving up information about those questions that they're asking. And in the process, they are able to steal our identity. I was thinking of a biblical example of this, and you know, in you might want to write this down. In Psalm 73, David found himself under siege. He found himself doubting God, questioning God's goodness, questioning God's love. And in the course of doing that, he looked at his life in light of other people's lives. In other words, he was going through some yucky stuff, but as he looked across the fence, if you were, he looked over the fence and he saw all these people who weren't trying to follow after God, and their lives seemed to be going swimmingly. And so we begin to ask ourselves, wait a minute, what am I doing here? I'm trying to follow God with as best as I know how. These people over here aren't trying to follow him at all, and it appears like their world's going better than my world. How can that be? And you start to question God's goodness. David in Psalm 73, he said, this is what the wicked are like. They're always carefree, and they're seemingly increasing in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain I have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been plagued, and I've been punished every morning. Do you hear it? David's starting to question, you know, what's going on here? What's going on? And I think of the devil, if the devil of our hearts and of our true identity can get us really questioning who God is, questioning his goodness, questioning his love for us. But I want to share with you, David didn't stay in that place, and you and I better not stay in that place either, or we are going to lose. There's going to be an identity theft of extreme proportions that will take place. Verse 16 says, David said, when I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. We use the word depressing. Until I entered the sanctuary of God and I understood their final destiny. Here's where David ends a few verses later. He says, after having questioned all this, having even his heart got grieved about all of it. His spirit was starting to become embittered. He said in verse 23, he came to his senses and he says, yet I am always with you and you hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel and afterwards you will take me into glory. You see, one of the ways that the enemy looks to steal our identity, to get us questioning who we really are in God, is to get us, just to get overwhelm us with questions, questioning this and questioning that and having to think about this and dwelling on that. At some point, we need to bring the questions to an end and, as David did, refocus on who God really is and see the big picture. Number four, gratification. How many of you have ever received an offer like this? Congratulations, you just won a free trip to the Bahamas. Right? All you need to do to claim your prize is give us your Social Security and credit card number. That's all you got to do. Free trips, free reward scams. I read this week, it is the number one way that people use to steal someone else's identity. Free stuff. You know, the Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. In fact, in Hebrews 11, it says that Moses chose to suffer with God's people rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Whenever we choose instant gratification, we suffer a loss to our true identity. You're supposed to say amen. Whenever we choose instant gratification, we will suffer a loss to our true identity. Sometimes we're willing to do something that we even know is not the right thing to do. And then afterwards, that condemnation sets in. And eventually the questions start setting in. And sometimes this becomes like a vicious cycle in our lives where all along the way, the thief is stealing, killing, destroying our true identity. So, how can we keep that from happening? What are some measures we could take to secure our spiritual security system? Remember, I said to you earlier, they're free. These are all free. You just have to apply for them. You just have to apply yourself to them. Here we go. Guarding our spiritual identity. Number one, review your position in Christ. In the natural, when it talks about identity theft, in the natural, we are told to check our accounts regularly, right? Right? And make sure that the activity is what it's supposed to be. Make sure we're taking a look occasionally at our checking activity, our credit card activity, paying attention to that stuff to make sure that the stuff that's happening on there is stuff that should be happening. I think in a similar way, we should be checking our spiritual identity. We need to make sure that things are what they should be. In fact, right here, in this verse, we're told to do just that. In 2 Peter 1, it says, be all the more eager to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The first matter we need to be focused on is whether indeed I am in Christ. You see, if you're here this morning and you are outside of Christ, meaning you have never embraced Him in a meaningful way in your life and He is not the focus of your heart, then you are outside of Christ. And if you are outside of Christ, there is no protection for you. Your identity is fair game. But even if you have accepted Christ, if your heart is in a place where you're saying, God, I want you to be the center of my life. I want you to be the thing my heart beats for. We still need to pay attention. You see, some people have signed up for that and then went ahead and lived however they want to live. And I'm saying to us this morning, I'm saying we need to keep coming back to that place of making sure that our calling and our identity is secure. I'm going to be spending more time talking about that in the weeks to come, this idea of being in Christ. But we need to continually be bringing our lives before Him, not as it were to be getting saved all over again, but just making sure that our hearts are where they need to be. That's the greatest one of the greatest spiritual protection steps you can take. Lord, here is my heart. Search me, try me, see if there be any stuff in there that shouldn't be. That's the greatest step you can take, one of the greatest steps you can take to securing or guarding your spiritual identity. Here's another one, renewing your mind. In the cyber world, we are called to renew our passwords from time to time. We are told to make sure that we would come up with one that would, that nobody in the world could guess, right? Right? You people on the computer? Do you have passwords? Okay, so my wife, she does all this for us, right? And this is important to her. So here's my problem, right? This is a big problem. When she comes up with a password, let me back up. I'm just weird about stuff like this, but I have my Social Security number memorized. Anybody have theirs memorized? Okay, good. Okay, you got yours memorized. Good. I have our checking account number memorized. Anybody? Okay, good. You know your checking account. I have our savings account number memorized. I have our credit card number memorized, including the three little ones on the back that they ask you for. Okay? I'm weird about stuff like that. Numbers, many of you know I used to have all of your phone numbers in the church directory memorized. My kids and I used to play games, and they would get the church directory out, and they would call out somebody's name, and I would, right? And I would say, they'd say, what's their phone number? And I would tell them their phone number. Just weird. A little monkish when it comes to that, you know? Okay. So my wife, right? She's got these passwords for different accounts that we have. And she comes up with these ones that are about 5 miles long, right? Right? So she says, okay, you're going to have to remember what it is. So, all right. So for a while it was Romans, because she loves the book of Romans, but that's too obvious. If anybody knows my wife, they might know that, right? So it was Romans, our dog's name at the time was Stretch. So Romans, Stretch. Then she throws a year in there just for like, you know, whatever. Stretch. Okay, Romans, Stretch, 08. Okay, 08. Bite. Okay, so it's Romans, Stretch, 08, bite. Now, how am I going to remember all that stuff, right? So just about the time I get it to memory, I said, I can't get in anymore. Oh, I changed that. So she came up. I think this one's changed now. So she came up. What can we think of that nobody will think of? I love lottery. What? And then some other stuff after that. So she's always changing these passwords on me, and it's like I'm having to renew my mind every time she comes up with these things. The Bible says concerning our spiritual identity, Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. This isn't just about doing stuff. This is about being. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Renewing our minds is about transforming or changing the way we process things in our hearts and minds. The natural, my natural mind, has one way of seeing things and responding to things, but my supernatural mind has another. A mind that is being transformed is one that is always looking to God for how they should see and respond to life around them. If you don't allow for your mind to be renewed, For the passwords of your heart to be changed, you remain vulnerable to spiritual identity theft. We need to review our position in Christ. We need to renew our minds daily. God, how do you see this? How do I need to look at this situation? How is it you want me to respond? How is it you want me to react? What truth do I need to draw from this? What lie needs to be exposed? I'm constantly allowing his word. I'm constantly allowing his spirit to do his work in my heart and my mind so that I'm not falling prey to spiritual identity theft. Number three, here it is right here. Resist the enemy. In the natural, when somebody calls us with a scam or they're trying to, you know, infiltrate our world, we don't say to them, oh, yeah, come on over. You know, come on, let's sit down and talk for a little while. When you get a scam call, you don't strike up a friendship with that person, I assume, right? Hey, my name's Jeff. What's your name? Right? Don't you say things like, could you please not call here again? Right? Now, that's kind, right? That's the PG version, right? Please don't call here again, right? We had a thing last Thanksgiving at our home. And just before we were getting ready to sit down for dinner, maybe it was two Thanksgivings ago, just as we were getting ready to sit down for dinner, the phone rings, and I answered it. And this person on the other end of the phone, heavy Indian accent, says, I have detected that there is a problem with your computer. You are on your computer right now. And I said, no. Well, I have detected there is a problem with your computer. Your computer needs to be fixed. I am calling to help you fix your computer. I said, man, we're just getting ready to sit down for Thanksgiving dinner. I said, I'm not on my computer. I am not aware of any problem with our computer. You know, I really can't believe that you're calling on Thanksgiving Day. Thank you. Have a nice day, whatever. So we finished our dinner, and the phone rang again. I look, it's the same number. So we had a guest with us for Thanksgiving dinner. She happened to be from Belgium, speaks fluent French. I said, why don't you answer the phone and talk to him in French? Why don't you do that? So she answers the phone. And she's going on and on and on in French, over and so on. She's not even letting that other person talk. She's just going off, you know. She's like, blah, blah, blah. She just keeps saying the same thing over and over again. So she's like, oh, bye, bye, bye. Wee, 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 wee. He closes up the phone. All the way home. So, wee, 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 all the way home. So she gets off the phone. I said, what did you say to him? She said, I just kept telling him in French. She said, I just kept telling him, you need to go home and get the turkey and gravy. It's really good on Thanksgiving Day. And so I'm like, that's awesome. That's awesome. We had a really good laugh. We're having a good laugh about the phone rings again. It's the same number. I said, give him the French again. So she gets on there and she gives him the French. And she got off. Anyways, we had a good laugh. But anyways, my point being is that when somebody's trying to infiltrate your world, and in this case, when somebody is trying to come in and steal your true identity, you need to stop that. You need to stop that. The Bible says in James, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You don't play with that stuff. It's like you went with those people who were calling, trying to scam you. You don't play with that stuff. You don't say, oh, it's so nice of you to call. Say, would you please stop calling me? And when the enemy comes to rob, steal, and kill your identity, to give you an other than what God says to you, you need to say in French or whatever language you want to, right? You need to say, I'm not taking your call. I am resisting you right now, and I'm going to hang up in Jesus' name. Right? Praise the Lord. You don't have to allow somebody to steal from you. The Bible doesn't say that. You know, some people are so full of grace and mercy, they won't even argue with the devil. Oh, we just want to be kind to everyone, maybe tolerant of everyone. I'm telling you, if he comes to steal your identity, you can tell him to go away. Number four, two more, real quick. Number four, remember your personal information. I mentioned to you earlier some of the things that I've put to memory. Did you know that there are over 160 verses in the Bible speaking directly to your spiritual identity? Over 160. If you took some of them and put them to memory, it would be incredibly effective in terms of guarding your spiritual identity. Last week I gave you one. Genesis 1:27. I am made in the image of God. That speaks to your identity. That you are made in the image of God. Here, I'll give you another one. This is free. Remember, I told you it's all free this morning. 2 Corinthians 5:17. In Christ, I am a new creation. If you just take, let's say if you took an eighth of 160, I don't even know what number that is. If you took an eighth of those and put them to memory, so that when you're starting to get distracted, when he's starting to breed condemnation, when he's trying to come in and rob, steal, kill, and destroy, you got something to go to. You've got something you put in your heart, something you put in your mind, so that you can say, no, I don't think that's right. Because I've discovered that my true identity is this. So what you're trying to tell me can't be right. It just can't be right. It's amazing how we're good at this in natural ways. You know, I've heard all your stories how you deal with scam artists. My question to you this morning is, how do you deal with the spiritual scam artists? What are you doing about that? When he's trying to come and steal your very life from you, your very identity from you. What are you doing to protect yourself? What are you doing to guard your heart and your mind? Listen, it's as real as the natural stuff. Maybe I should say it's even more real than the natural stuff. Lastly, number five, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. You know, sometimes when stuff like this is going on in our life, people become fixated on it. They become obsessed about it. They're like, oh, did you know this happened, that happened? Oh, I can't believe you're trying to do. You know, and the same is true in the spiritual realm. It's like we got all this stuff pouring down on us, and we're got questions and doubts and condemnation and confusion and all this stuff going on, and people start to become obsessed over what they're obsessed about. I'm suggesting to us this morning that what we need to do is we need to go back to ground zero, square one, and say, you know what? The starting point for me in knowing and continuing to hang on to my true identity is to praise the Lord, is to rejoice in the Lord. Listen to this. In Philippians, it says, rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. It's almost like Paul said, listen, I can't tell you this enough. I'm going to say it once, but I'm going to tell you it again because this is vitally important. Do not be anxious about anything. Anything means anything. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will do what? It will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If you want to practice real identity theft, spiritual identity theft protection, then you need to review where you're at in Christ. Let your mind be renewed. Make sure that you're resisting the devil, remembering your personal information, and begin and end with rejoicing in the Lord. It's a spiritual life lock of sorts. There is this silent war taking place. Much of it is unseen in the hearts and lives of people. The fruits of this war are visible to us. When people's natural identity is hacked and taken over, it may very well make life miserable for those people. But I promise you, if people are not paying attention to their spiritual identity, it gets even more messy, and the implications are not just financial or credit report related. When someone doesn't pay attention to their true spiritual identity, the implications are life-altering. We need to enter into a spiritual lifelock discipline of doing life as seen through the lenses of God and His Word. What I'm here to tell you this morning is Jesus has already paid the price for you and I to have such protection. But it's only as good as whether we apply it to our lives. It means nothing. This table has no effect if I don't, Monday through Saturday, put it into biography instead of just theological understanding. This morning, God wants your identity secure. He wants you knowing who you are in Christ. He wants you living out of that. He doesn't want you living in question and doubt and condemnation and, you know, worrying about this and fearful about that. He wants you, as displayers of His glory, to be living a life that is at rest because you're secure in Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the price that you have paid so that we can have the protection, the identity theft protection, so that the thief is not able to take us out, so that he's not able to make our lives hell on earth, so that we don't have to live wondering who we really are, so that we don't have to respond to the various challenges and choices of life out of a misguided sense of who you've made us to be. Thank you for giving us your clear word about how you have made us, who we really are in you, and then we can walk in accordance with that. We can make life choices in accordance with that. We can speak to others in accordance to that. And when those random times come that the enemy does come our way and try to hack us, try to steal from us, Lord, we can have that assurance. We can walk in the freedom and peace knowing that we are living out of the life flow and the grace that you have made available to us to protect our well-being. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, now listen. Mentioned earlier, we have a lovely cake next door. Our brother Bert Michael is turning 90 this week on June 1st. Please, if you'd like to, come and enjoy some coffee and a piece of cake. And Bert, once again, happy birthday to you. God bless you. You're a man of God. Have a wonderful rest of the Memorial weekend. God bless you as you go. Take care.